friends.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Olivia.
And we are Podcast by Proxy, Canadian True Crime.
Welcome. We're live.
At the rodeo.
At the rodeo. I kind of messed up this week. Katie and I were supposed to do each one small case, and I, you know, overshot as usual. So here I am.
She blew her whole load and made a whole episode.
I did, yeah. So you get to hear from me all day long today.
Anything new to report? Anything going on in your life that you would like to talk about?
Nope. I'm going back on vacation in a couple weeks, which is exciting. I don't know if anybody else, I feel like there's like two kinds of people in the world. You either start packing like a month early or you pack the day before you leave. And mm-hmm. I'm very much a pack a month early kind of girl. And so I had to move my suitcases and all the clothes I've dug out to like the other side of the room in order to do this recording today because they were all like in the way.
You know we record every week, right?
Yeah, but, you know.
Okay.
I held my suitcase out, and then I got really excited, and I started pulling out all my summer clothes and all my fits and all my, you know. So, I am a person
that, like, a week before I hide my suitcase somewhere in the house that I can access it, but my dog won't see it, and I slowly start throwing stuff in it, and then about 2 days before, I organize it all and pack it.
Yeah, nope. I have all my, like, packing cubes out, my clothes sprawled all over my office. The thing about my office is that it's very much like I'm the only person that goes in
here. A dressing room?
Well, sort of, but, like, the door is closed all the time. Like, to the rest of the house, this is no man's land, except for...
Well, and to put in perspective, you have, like, your living room, bedroom, kitchen, bathroom, like, all your shared space, and then you have your office, mm-hmm. which is the extra room. And Brianna has the garage, so you've each got a bonus space.
Yeah, I've also taken over half of the garage. So it's a do-what-you-want
space. Yeah, but the garage is twice the size of the office, so that's fair.
Yeah. Another new thing to report, my treadmill broke, so I had to get a new one.
No.
Which I, of course, replaced the same day that it broke, because I use it all the time. I've been on the treadmill. My New Year's resolution, I didn't really want to have a resolution per se, but I've had the treadmill for a while and it's like for getting my steps in because I work at home, I work on a computer, I'm podcasting. Besides going to the gym, I don't get a lot of like general activity during the day.
Yeah. You don't just move your body.
No. So I want to do that more. I've had it for a while, but I wasn't using it as much as I would have liked to. So since the new year started, I've been on that thing like 30 to 60 minutes a day. I've been on such a good roll, such a kick. And then, of course, because I'm overusing it and it was $40 on Marketplace, it broke.
But you know what? I think that was a good like budget to make sure you were going to use it. And now you want it again.
Yeah. So I replaced it with another $40 treadmill off Marketplace. So
why don't you get one of those like $70, like just the bottom part that you put under your desk?
No, because I have it in the garage. I have my TV set up. I watch my shows. It's a whole thing. It's
for like, the record, people, she's sitting with a TV next to her, mounted on the wall.
I don't use that TV at all, though. That's just like for, I don't know what that's for.
Oh, this old thing?
Yeah, literally, I don't use it. But no, the treadmill was actually, I don't want a walking pad for under my desk. Nobody cares about any of this, but here I am telling you anyways.
Because this is what we do.
When you work at home, as I do, I personally find that I don't take a lot of breaks. Like, I know that the perception of people working at home is that we just do nothing. And actually what happens is I lock myself in my office and I don't take proper breaks. I eat my lunch at my desk. Like, I don't end up having that break time. And so I started using the treadmill. I'll go in the garage for 30 minutes, watch my show. And it's like an actual real break from work.
That's a good idea. So it's a divided space. Yes. So it's disconnects you.
Yeah.
That's good. Because I used to do kind of an opposite thing where I would work. And then on all my breaks, I would quickly try to get stuff done around the house.
Yeah.
So then I would find I wasn't taking care of myself because I wasn't eating properly or stuff like that because I was not even giving myself those breaks because those breaks became time to do other tasks.
Yeah, see, I find watching my show, going for my walk, it's like a real break and it's very helpful for me. So, anyways, that's the story of
Love
my
that.
treadmill that broke and I got a new one.
Well, I love that for
That's
you.
about all that's happened to me this week.
Well, as I just said to you, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but I have just had a Lemony Snicket's week. Like, it's been a series of unfortunate events, and I said to my fiance yesterday that I already feel like I'm playing a victim by even talking about it. He's like, no, it's pretty just factual. It's just a bunch of weird shit.
And you know what?
So
Sometimes we have those weeks
it
and you're not a
happens.
victim just because you bring it up.
No, but like sometimes the universe just kind of kicks you when you're down for a bit. It happens.
Yeah, it
And
really
I'm just
does.
having one of those phases right now, and it'll pass, but yeah, it is what it is right now.
Well, I hope that this week improves for you. And Katie
Me
and
too.
I think, I actually haven't confirmed with you if you're still coming, are gonna maybe go to a wedding show next weekend. So we're like both starting to wedding plan, which is very exciting. Yeah.
I did a venue tour yesterday. It was
Very
quite a big
exciting.
property. It was quite a long tour.
Yeah.
The lady was lovely, though, but there was a lot of couples there, so it was just like,
Oh, okay.
okay, everybody, stop asking questions. Let's just
It was a
go.
group tour. That's cool.
Yeah, so I had reached out to this local venue saying that I was interested, and she had replied back saying, we're actually doing like a walking tour of the grounds for people interested in doing weddings here next year. So if you want to come, you just be here at this time. And yeah, we met up, and it was really cute because they also run a lot of community programs out of this area, because it's on like 400 acres. And so there was like little bags of cookies made for each of us with our wedding booklets that had been made by people and staff on site.
Adorable.
So, yeah, I just love it.
So fun. Yeah, so that's all happening, but yeah, not a whole lot for me. I went to my first little horseback riding event and I got a ribbon. But that segues us nicely into this week's episode.
Yeah.
So this week, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, Katie and I had planned to kind of do a smaller episode each and make it
Little
one big one.
splitsies.
And then I just kind of got a little bit out of hand and did two myself. So
She got greedy, is what she did, people.
yeah, so I'm gonna tell both of those stories today just because they're very similar-ish. We're gonna go to Merritt, BC, but before we start, do not forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Podcast by Proxy. Leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening. And today, we're gonna go to Merritt, BC, and we're talking about the disappearance of Ben Tyner and the disappearance of Dean Morrison. Now, Dean Morrison, I saw there was a couple podcast episodes about his disappearance. The Vanished podcast did a whole episode regarding his disappearance. I haven't seen anything that I could find related to the first story that I'm going to tell you, which is the disappearance of Ben Tyner.
Yeah, I'll be honest, when you said the second name, I don't know if you noticed, but I kind of went, because the second name I kind of recognized Dean, but I did not have any recollection of who the first gentleman was.
Okay, I lied. It looks like True North True Crime did do an episode on Ben Tyner in November of 2020, but otherwise, I don't see
Still
anything.
does not sound familiar.
Yeah, I don't see anything related to him. So, yeah, it was.
I'm here for the deets,
I
lady.
had not heard of this case before, and it's really wild. So, let's get into it. In November of 2018, 32-year-old Ben Tyner moved from his family's home in Wyoming to take a new job in Merritt, BC at Nicola Ranch as a ranch manager. Merritt, BC is located in what is known as the Nicola Valley. It's approximately 270 kilometers or a 3-hour drive northeast of Vancouver, BC. It's a very small town. Nicola Ranch is regarded as one of the most historic, long-running ranches in the Nicola Valley. The southern interior of BC in general is well known for producing some of the best cattle in the province, and in 2022, Nicola Ranch won the Commercial Angus Breeder of the Year award.
Holy crap, that's really impressive considering, I mean, we neighbor Alberta, who's known for their beef. So the fact that we can, hold our own. Not that I love the idea of animals being food, but I hope that that also entails that their ethics are impeccable.
Yeah.
And their treatment is incredible, so.
Yeah.
Also, I have a very whiny cat at my house. If I'm unable to edit him out, I'm sorry.
So Ben's career as a rancher had taken him to ranches all over the world, including one in Russia. He was the true definition of a cowboy. When Ben wasn't riding horses or gathering cattle, he was usually busy making like custom chaps and spurs and whips. His family said if there is anyone who embodied the cowboy archetype, it was Ben. His Instagram posts feature some of his recent leather work, including custom shotgun leggings made from water buffalo hide and a 10-foot bullwhip. Ben was just a true American cowboy.
Wow, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Cowboy, take me away.
Through and through, yeah.
Before moving to BC, Ben lived on his family's ranch in Wyoming and became the caretaker of the operation after his father, Richard, suffered an injury. His parents had moved the family from Florida, where Ben was born, to Wyoming over 20 years ago and started to build a herd that was grown to be about 100 cattle. His uncle, Larry Sanders, said that from the time he was young, Ben always wanted to be around horses and cattle. He said he always wanted to be a cowboy. So it goes without saying then that Ben was an incredibly experienced horseback rider and rancher, which is why it was incredibly concerning when on January 28th, 2019, just 3 months after Ben had arrived at Nicola Ranch, RCMP in Merritt were alerted to the fact that Ben's horse was found wandering along a logging road, fully tacked up with gear, but no rider. So somebody...
That's really nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And, like, my mom and my aunt grew up owning a big farm. And I remember her even saying to me, like, that was always a fear. And mostly your fear was that someone's fallen off their horse and hurt themselves. Or they've been bucked off because of, like, a wild animal for hers. But, like, I couldn't imagine seeing a horse coming back tacked up.
Yeah.
No rider. So chill-inducing.
Yeah. Super scary. Even more concerning was the fact that Ben himself had not been seen since 2 days prior on Saturday, January 26, 2019. It's your birthday.
I know when you were like, the 28th of January, I was like, oh, it's so close.
Yeah. Ben's horse was found by a local hunter named Kim Robinson, who is also the man who tracked down Alan Schoenborn when he was at large for 9 days back in 2008 after killing his three children. Perhaps we will cover this case on the show one day. Yeah. It's very, very, very sad.
I mean, it's children. It's a big one. You guys just heard that. You know the deal. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Kim Robinson told the news outlet The Herald that he found Ben's horse early Monday morning on the 28th at around 5:30 a.m. The horse was found wandering on a logging road off Highway 97 Northwest in Merritt near what is known as Winnie Flats. The horse, like I said, was fully tacked up with gear. He was missing one rein. Robinson said it took him approximately 20 minutes to get the horse because he was pretty jumpy, indicating that something might have happened to him. Some horses are just like this, but he felt...
Well, he's also been wandering on his own. You don't know what's happened in the interim.
Yeah. He did eventually catch the horse and tied him to a tree. He then called a few local cowboys he knew who brought the horse back to town and called Robinson back at 12:30 p.m. to let him know that it was the manager of Nicola Ranch's horse and that he had been missing since Saturday night. And then so this is when it's reported to the RCMP.
Okay.
Other than missing a rein, Ben's horse was unharmed with nothing left to indicate how it had lost Ben. Ben had brought this horse with him from Wyoming when he moved to Merritt to take the job at Nicola Ranch. So it wasn't like a new horse to him.
Aww, so it's like his bonded horse.
Yes. Aww. The office manager of Nicola Ranch, Tammy Strea, said Ben was last seen on Saturday, January 26, 2019 at 2 p.m. She said his truck and trailer were still parked in the driveway and that there was nothing to suggest in what direction he was headed or why. Saturday the 26th was Ben's day off work, and it's thought that he might have left on horseback to search for cattle in the surrounding hills. It was later confirmed that he was seen riding his horse east from Nicola Ranch, and after speaking to other ranchers, the RCMP do believe that Ben rode to an area known as Squakum Ridge, northwest of Merritt, in search for stray cattle that belonged to the ranch.
Understandable.
Yeah. So it's like he went out to search and bring them back.
Recover, yeah. Some cattle that he maybe had wandered off or got out of open fence. Yeah.
Tammy said it was completely out of character for Ben to leave the ranch without notifying someone. After finding his horse on Monday the 28th, Nicola Valley Search and Rescue and Kamloops Search and Rescue began their search backed by several volunteers from other search and rescue groups. By Tuesday the 29th, there were 40 search and rescue workers on site, plus police dogs, volunteers on foot and horseback, snowmobiles, and RCMP air support, including drones. Overnight search and rescue crews also provided air and ground search.
That's amazing that in such a small community, though, that they were able to not only get so many resources, but, like, 40 people is a rather large search party for that kind of area.
And quickly. Like, it happened fast.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that is to note, like we said about, like, Alberta is right there. So, like, if anyone's going to come over and help, they do have access to exactly that, like, more snowmobiles, things like that, like, different terrain, so.
Yeah. Ben's family, including his father Richard, his mother Jennifer, and his younger brother Jack, arrived from Wyoming on January 29th to assist with the search. Richard and Jennifer took part in the search by surveying the area via helicopter, while his brother Jack, who is a professional rodeo rider, was on horseback accompanied by Ben's dogs. At one point, Jack found what was believed to be the broken rein from Ben's horse. However, they found no trace of Ben.
See, like, to me, if he doesn't leave without telling people, it almost seems like maybe he was, like, chasing somebody off or, like, went after somebody, like, saw something happen. But that's only because they stressed that he wouldn't leave without telling somebody. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like kind of all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then maybe if he was, like, chasing someone, maybe a rein got caught on something or, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a weird one. But, yeah, go ahead. Keep going. Sorry.
So his brother Jack wrote on his Facebook page on Tuesday the 29th that his family was in desperate need of prayers and asked people to pray that they would find him, adding they were so grateful to all the search and rescue volunteers and cowboys helping look for Ben. The search continued on Wednesday the 20th with assistance from the Lower Nicola Indian Band. The weather at the time of Ben's disappearance was said to be partly cloudy with a high of 2 degrees Celsius and overnight lows of -3. As a rancher, the RCMP believed Ben would be dressed for the weather and, like, probably had the proper gear. However, they had no indication that he took anything to spend the night. During searches, they did look for signs of a fresh fire, indicating that he might still be alive, but none was found.
Yeah, I definitely think that they would have found remains of a fire, especially if he has his horse with him. Like, he's probably going to look to potentially boil water if he knows it's not clean or different things like that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The initial search for Ben was also hindered by the fact that there was an active logging road, or sorry, that there was active logging in the area where Ben's horse was found and herds of wild horses. So this made it difficult to, like, find any track for his horse and the route that they may have taken. The search for Ben was called off shortly after it began on February 3rd, 2019, due to snow and bad weather descending on the province. Members of the RCMP's major crime unit continued to investigate his disappearance, without searching. However, they did not state at the time that they believed foul play was involved.
Okay.
By the end of February 2019, the RCMP put out a statement to the public asking for everyone in the area who might have been in that area to review their dash cam footage or any other footage they might have for sightings of Ben. Staff Sergeant Lauren Wood said in the press release that the investigation into Ben's disappearance continued to be a priority for the Merritt RCMP and the Southeast District Major Crime Unit. They asked for anyone who was in Merritt the weekend of January 26th and 27th and has any form of video footage to contact them. Ben's family had to return home in February, but before they left, they also made an emotional appeal to the public asking for tips about his whereabouts.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine how hard that is for families who don't get an answer that have to leave a town.
Yeah. Have to like
go and walk home. Away from everything, because how do you keep investigating from home like that when you really don't know anything?
And not even town, to a different country.
Yeah.
In March of 2019, the RCMP announced that the disappearance of Ben had switched from a missing persons case to a criminal investigation. RCMP Sergeant Janelle Schuett said she could not share why, only that they now believed he could have been a targeted victim. She said, quote, after having taken a good look at all the pieces, 2 months of investigation, pieces are not quite fitting where they should. So by 2 months after, okay, they change it from missing person to criminal.
Okay. I wonder what they figured out, but I know we won't know, but I'm curious to know what piece of evidence or...
Yeah, I told Brandon when I was researching this that they're very, like, elusive about it, if you will, but you can tell that they know more than they're letting on, which we always know is the case, but in this case specifically, it definitely feels like there's a lot of holdback evidence.
Mm-hmm.
The RCMP had requested assistance from Major Crime early on in the investigation. However, it wasn't until March that they actually suggested foul play might be involved.
You're not breathing good enough.
Chug my coffee.
Take some deeper breaths.
Good Lord. Another quote by the Southeast District Major Crimes Unit said, initially, there was nothing that was definitive in determining that it was criminally related, just out of character. But now, after putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, investigators in the Southeast District can now say they believe that Mr. Tyner did not go missing of his own volition. It is suspicious and likely there's some criminality related to his disappearance.
I tend to agree. Yeah. Thank you.
The search for Ben was resumed in April of 2019 when the snow melted and the weather improved. Merritt RCMP joined forces with the Southeast District Major Crimes Unit, police dog services, air assets, and an underwater recovery team in the renewed search. The large-scale search for Ben has included more than 19 teams across the province, including dog tracking, drones, horseback riders, and volunteers from the community who covered large areas of North Merritt. To this day, Ben Tyner has not been found.
Oh, that's sad.
It's so wild to me when people just vanish. Like, this especially, his horse that he brought with him from Wyoming, like, being a horseback rider myself, like, you do not leave your horse unless it's, like, the worst possible case scenario. Like, people don't just walk away from their horses. If your horse is injured
and you can't move it, sure, you may have to go get help. But, like, yeah, you don't just separate from your animal.
There's no scenario where you would just leave your horse by himself wandering on a road and take off willingly. There just isn't.
No.
Ben's family.
That's why I don't understand. That's why I shook my head at first when you were like, they don't think foul play was involved. It's like, well, if you really know the people that are this into their horses.
Yeah, that just doesn't make
you
sense.
You would think that foul play is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, I think that they say that at the beginning of the investigation when they maybe don't quite have enough to really say it. They might still think it. They had the Major Crimes Unit involved the whole anything, time. Right? They just don't have enough to go on yet, so.
Yeah, they have no major amount of blood at any scene. They don't have proof that he's deceased in any way. They don't have a body, so
Yeah, again, when I was I was talking to Brandon about this one, because this case just was so...
Irked you a little bit?
Yeah, it just was like, what? Yeah. That doesn't make sense. And Brandon's like, oh, like, you know, what about wildlife kind of thing? And like, if he had gotten attacked or eaten by wildlife, like, there would be signs of that. There would be, blood. The tracking dogs would have figured that out. Like, it would just eat you whole.
No, because I agree 100%. There would be some type of, and I hate to say it this way, but like carnage. It's an animal. There's nothing clean about what animals do. Yeah. There would be remains of some kind or a sign of it happening.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Ben's family set up a GoFundMe page to keep the search going, stating that any donations would go towards sustaining the search for Ben for as long as possible. A reward of $15,000 was offered in January 2021 by the family on the two-year anniversary of Ben's disappearance. It was doubled in March of 2021 when the owner of Nicola Ranch, John Lou, matched the initial offer. The reward,
sweet of him.
So the reward for information in Ben's case is now $30,000. This reward will be given to the person who provides information leading to the discovery of Ben's body and the arrest and prosecution of whoever is responsible.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's a more substantial amount that would bring someone forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we've talked about before, I think everyone in their head has a price of what it would take for them to come forward. Because it is scary. There has to be, the risk has to meet the reward. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think that that's more valid.
Ben's father, Richard, says that the time since Ben has disappeared has been the most painful, excruciating experience ever, and said the family hopes someone will provide details to answer their many questions. His parents both describe him as a gentle giant and a team player. His mother, Jennifer, told news reporters that losing Ben has left them shattered and heartbroken. The family stated in 2021 that they were still in weekly contact with the RCMP and that they did feel progress was being made.
Well, that's good. And I mean, it wasn't that long ago that it happened, so people are still alive. Evidence can still be found. Yeah. Things can still be tested. Memories are pretty good. So there's a lot of hope in this case still.
Yeah. RCMP state they now believe that Ben and his horse were likely taken into the backcountry by trailer, but despite pleas for information, nobody has come forward. Investigators are asking anyone who may have seen him on the weekend of January 26 to 27, 2019, or might have seen a truck and trailer transporting him to Swakop Mountain or OK Forest Service Road off Mammoth Lake Road, contact the Merritt RCMP. So, again, that tells me that they just know so much more than their...
Yeah, they have an area to be specific, potentially.
Well, they know, like, the area in which the horse was found, but now they actually are saying they think that he might have gone into a truck and, like, loaded his horse into a trailer with somebody.
Hmm.
So that's incredibly interesting.
Yeah. Opens a lot more doors.
It does. Ben Tyner is described as 6'3", 240 pounds with dark hair and a beard. Aside from being a cowboy, Ben's family described him as a voracious reader who loved to experience new places and cultures. He was quiet and reserved, very mannerly, a little shy, but took great pride in his work. He never had hesitated to lend a helping hand to a neighbor back home. One of his neighbors in Wyoming said of Ben, quote, "Anytime you needed Ben to gather cows or brand cows, or if you needed him with a horse trailer, he'd drop whatever he was doing to help somebody. He was a solid, strong guy."
Hmm.
His mother...
That almost makes me wonder if maybe someone, like, was pulled over and said, like, something's wrong and I'm not comfortable driving my trailer. And he was like, I'll help you. I'll just throw my horse in the trailer.
Yeah, like, maybe somebody needed help and he offered.
Yeah, like, they, like, Ted Bundy'd him with, like, a ruse of needing, like, a hand doing something.
It's potential. Ben's mother, Jennifer, told news outlets, quote, "To think that I will never see his smile or hear his infectious laugh, never see him realize his dreams, never have him wrap his arms around me again is unthinkable." Police noted that the family's private reward is being managed by the family and not the RCMP. They also stated that to date, numerous investigational avenues have been explored. However, in order to protect the ongoing investigation, police are unable to share those findings publicly. They continue to state that based on their findings, major crime investigators have reason to believe that criminality was involved in Ben's disappearance and that he was the victim of a homicide.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Mm-hmm. Anyone with information in this case is asked to call their local RCMP detachment, the Southeast District Anyone with information is asked to call their local RCMP detachment or the Southeast District Major Crime Unit at 1-877-987-8477, or you can report anonymously to BC Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS, which is 1-800-222-8477. If anyone knows anything, no matter how insignificant it may seem, please inform the Southeast District Major Crimes Unit in Kelowna as soon as possible. So when a woman named Elizabeth Faber saw the story of Ben's disappearance, she could not help but notice similarities to her own son Dean Morrison's case and Ben's.
Okay.
44-year-old Dean Kelly Morrison was last seen in Merritt, BC on October 22nd, 2013. So 6 years prior to Ben going missing.
Yeah, so quite a ways before, but not too long. Okay.
Dean was working as a contractor painter at a nearby ranch called Stump Lake Ranch when he disappeared. Stump Lake Ranch is located at 8165 Old Kamloops Road, Highway 5A, between Merritt and Kamloops, and is approximately 45 kilometers from Nicola Valley Ranch, where Ben disappeared from. Dean had been working on the ranch for about 3 weeks prior to his disappearance and was living in a trailer on the property. In an interview with the Merritt Herald in 2015, his mother Elizabeth said Dean's boss had noticed he was uncharacteristically lethargic in the weeks leading up to October 22nd and that it caused him to be let go from his job that morning. She told the Black Press in 2016, quote, "He was a really quick worker, a hard worker, but his boss told me he changed his work ethic in the last 2 weeks." Now, there may be a reason for that. We know that at the time of his disappearance, Dean was going through a pretty difficult time. Him and his wife had only been separated for a few weeks. So it kind of lines up with when...
All fell at the same time.
Yeah, it lines up with kind of like when his work ethic was slowing down. Him and his wife were going...
He was distracted.
Yeah, him and his wife were going through this tough separation. He moves into this trailer on the property. And him and his wife also had 3 children, Annie, Eddie, and Paz. So while Dean was going through a bout of depression due to his separation, his mother, Elizabeth, says he would have never left his children. After being let go from work on the morning of October 22nd, 2013, Dean went to leave the property with his truck and trailer. So he's like going to pack up his stuff and leave. However, his truck wouldn't start.
Okay.
He was planning to move the trailer that he lived in to his sister Michelle's house, where he often stayed on his days off.
Okay. Well, that sucks. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, so his truck doesn't start. The manager of the ranch, Dan Fremlin, said that he saw Dean trying to start the vehicle on the property that morning and that he looked, quote, wasted. He says, after being unable to start the truck, Dean called a tow truck. So this was called at approximately 9:30 a.m. Dean was then asked to clean up his workspace while waiting for the tow truck to get there.
Okay.
His mother, Elizabeth, says that Dean knew the tow truck was going to take quite a bit of time, being that it was the only tow truck in town. I think being from a small town, we can relate.
Yep.
So he called a friend to help him, but this friend didn't get the message in time. The tow truck arrived. Now, the research... Why is there a fire truck here?
want to go check?
The research varies. In many articles, it says that the tow truck didn't get there until 1 p.m. And in other articles that I found, it says that the tow truck arrived at 11 a.m., but that Dean was nowhere to be found, and so the tow truck kind of just, like, waited around. Seems odd.
That's a big discrepancy in time, though.
The tow truck would wait for, like, 2 hours to me, but either way, the tow truck arrives. They can't find Dean. Manager Dan Fremlin searches all the buildings for him, but is unable to find him, and the tow truck leaves at around 1 p.m.
Okay.
His vehicle and trailer, which held all of his personal belongings, were left on the ranch property. So he's seen in the morning. He calls this tow truck at 9:30, but by the time it gets there, whether that's 11 a.m. or 1 p.m., he's gone.
He's not there.
Yes.
All his shit is there.
Nobody can find him. Okay. But all his stuff is left there.
Okay, yeah, super weird, but okay.
Dean is then reported missing to the RCMP by his sister Michelle 5 days later on October 28th, 2013, because she had still not heard from him. And remember, Dean was going...
5 days?
Yeah, which seemed wild to me.
I think given the sequence of events and the truck not starting and him being wasted, and yeah, I would be more worried that I would have reported him missing like that night.
I am surprised that the manager didn't at least inform a family member that, like, hey, we can't find him and his stuff is still here. It takes 5 days when Michelle...
But he was supposed...
Michelle hadn't heard
from
him.
He was, like, moving to his sister's, and it's like he hasn't shown up there either, so isn't she a little concerned?
Well, I don't know if maybe she didn't know that he got fired that morning, because remember, he got let go from work that morning and then was just going to take the trailer and truck there, so I don't know if he maybe hadn't told her yet, and so she assumed he was working because he often went there on his days off. But either way... At a certain point, she is alerted to the fact that, like, he hasn't been here and I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, okay.
The RCMP then began conducting an air and ground search for Dean on October 31st, 2013. So 3 days after he's reported missing.
Also, like, you're starting it on Halloween when there's the probably most densely populated streets in town. Like, wouldn't you want to be more proactive to get ahead of it before that's, like, tampering evidence if there is anything wrong?
So it seems like their search is pretty contained to the Stump Lake Ranch area. It's really huge. I had the information on that in here somewhere, but it's something ridiculous, like 2,700 hectares or something. Like, it's a massive area. And so, 2,600 hectares. And it's like...
So they just own a portion of the city. Okay.
Yeah, so they're really just searching that area. They're not really searching...
It's fair. That's a lot of area.
Yeah. Dan Fremlin said that after Dean disappeared, the ranch assigned at least one employee to search the area for him for the next 3 weeks. The community also organized a ground search, which was held on November 13th, 2013, but this, too, turned up nothing about what happened to Dean. So, a little bit about when Dan Fremlin said that he appeared drunk. So, what we can gather with respect to this, Dean's mother, Elizabeth, said that on the day that Dean was let go from work, so the day he went missing, October 22nd, his boss, Dan Fremlin, said that he appeared drunk. It seems like his sister, Michelle, who was on, like, antidepressants and anxiety medication at the time herself... had given Dean Ativan for his anxiety. And so Elizabeth believes that Dean took the Ativan the morning that Dan reported him looking intoxicated.
I could see that.
So that's...
When I take an Ativan, I look overtly tired and, like, just talking, I'm like, like, my brain just moves a little slower. Yeah. So I could see that.
So she believes that he was on Ativan that morning and not drunk. That's just a little tidbit about
that
part.
It's good to note, though, because people get a bad rep as soon as someone says, I think they're drunk.
Well, and she also said that, like, besides this spout of like hard times, depression that he was going through with his separation and things like that. Dean had never had any mental health struggles that she was aware of before and had never been on that kind of medication. So if you're taking like Ativan or something for the first time, like you don't know how it's going to affect you.
No, like it hits me moderately hard, mm-hmm. but I'm someone who's very sensitive to medication.
Yeah, so that was just about
that. Who knows what it would have done to him. Mm-hmm.
There have been numerous air and ground searches over the years since Dean disappeared. However, none of them have turned up any sign of him. His mother, Elizabeth, says she does not believe her son would have vanished willingly. Elizabeth said when she had actually previously suggested he leave town, like maybe just for a little break or something, get away, whatever.
Get out of town.
His reply was, "Mom, I could never leave my kids." And she said those were the last words that she heard from him prior to his disappearance.
Which, again, just supports the fact that he wouldn't have just up and left.
Yeah. And it seems weird that you would call a tow truck to, like, tow your stuff somewhere and then be like, actually, never mind, I'm going to go.
I'm just going to no-show from the place that I'm already at and called someone to meet me at.
Yeah, like, you never know. There's quite a bit of time between when he called and when the tow truck arrived. That's a lot of time to just kind of, like, sit and think. But at the same time, it just seems...
It's not like he's on the side of the road, though, no. And he's like, I gotta walk back home. I gotta pee or something. He's at home. He mm-hmm. could have just gone inside and sat down yeah. and waited for the guy to get there.
100%, yeah.
So, yeah, it is odd.
In 2016, Elizabeth hired a private investigator to help look for Dean. BCSI investigator Dennis Gagnon agreed to take the case for free and rekindled the investigation, conducting new searches of Stump Lake Ranch, equipped with a drone, and conducting interviews with people who may have been in contact with Dean around the time he went missing. Although the addition of a drone allowed them to search more areas of the ranch, this search, too, failed to find any clues about what happened to Dean. Like I mentioned, Stump Lake Ranch spans a total of 2,700 hectares. It's mostly open country. The area has a number of lakes, cliffs, and wildlife, which makes searching more challenging.
Sounds beautiful, though.
It really does. The reinvigoration of the case in 2016 left Elizabeth feeling it was more cold than ever. In 2019, the Kamloops RCMP put out a statement stating the case with them was still an open and active investigation, and they renewed their search of the Stump Lake area once again in October of 2019. RCMP, with the help of Kamloops Search and Rescue and search and rescue crews from Clearwater and Shuswap, were involved with the search. But to this day, there has been no sign of Dean. 2019 was the last time an official search was done for Dean. Crews covered new and previously explored areas in and around Stump Lake, and RCMP have remained tight-lipped about any information they might have into this investigation.
That's... How are these two cases so similar?
I know.
Both new information. You're right.
Yeah. Dean, aside from being a painter, previously owned and ran a coffee shop in Merritt. And when he and his wife lived in Langley, he ran twice as an NDP candidate in provincial elections. After the couple left Langley, Dean worked for the then Merritt NDP MLA Harry Lally on his 2013 campaign, before later becoming a reporter for Merritt News and an editor for the Merritt Herald. His mother, Elizabeth, said that while he has done lots of different things, his basic wages always came from painting houses. Aside from his recent depression due to the life changes he was going through, Elizabeth said Dean was not a drug user and had not had any other mental health struggles that she knew about in his life. She said he never failed to call her every week, and if he is still alive, it is against his nature not to be in touch with his family.
Well, and his kids, like...
Yeah, and he had three kids. He was very close to them. He was very adamant he wouldn't leave them. Dean Morrison was described as 5'5", approximately 150 pounds, with brown hair and blue eyes. He was last seen wearing a quilted black jacket and work pants. Elizabeth is offering a $3,000 reward to anyone who might have information about the whereabouts of her son. If you have any information about Dean Morrison, you are asked to contact the Kamloops Rural RCMP at 1-250-314-1800 or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477. So
yeah, they're crazy similar other than like essentially the stature of the guys. That's the only thing about them that's like opposite essentially, because one guy's what, 6'3" and one guy's 5'5" or something you said?
Yeah, the disappearances themselves are very similar. I think maybe the only thing that people would say is that, you know, Dean was maybe going through something at the time of his disappearance that you could argue per se that would make him maybe want to leave town, whereas Ben's was like, he literally,
he was like in the middle of riding his horse kind of thing.
Just got
like,
there 3 months prior and nothing was going on that we know about. But at the same time, it's, I think you have to listen to family members when they say like he would not leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because 9 times out of 10, those people are right.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually find that there is foul play involved and we really need to look close to home.
Yeah. So both of these are still very open and active investigations as far as we know about with the RCMP. I will obviously leave the information in the description box below, but anyone with information into the disappearance of Ben Tyner, once again, is asked to contact the Southeast District Major Crime Unit at 1-877-987-8477. If you have any information into the disappearance of Dean Morrison, you're asked to call the Kamloops Rural RCMP at 1-250-314-1800. And for both cases, you can contact Crime Stoppers anonymously at 1-800-222-8477.
Yeah, those are horrifically sad.
I know.
And the fact that there's two of them. Like,
yeah.
It's just, and they're so similar. And they were these two guys that hypothetically were fit, strong, potentially throwing bales of hay, doing ranch work, like, could defend themselves. So it's interesting to figure out what could have happened and if there's any relation to the two cases.
Yeah, and RCMP have said, like, they're very much investigating these separately, but they would, of course, look in to see if they could find any connection between the two, because yeah, as soon as Dean's mother Elizabeth saw Ben's disappearance 6 years after her own son,
she just had that feeling.
She literally instantly was like, what? Like, that's just so similar to my own son, because they both, it's just, I guess, well, not, like, I don't think it,
she's been
seems
poring over
common.
The details she knows, right? So like when she sees someone else's details and they're so freaking similar,
yeah,
of course she's going to be like, oh, God.
Yeah, and in the same, I don't want to say small area, because obviously the area itself is vast, but population-wise, like, these aren't big major cities where it's common for two people to just disappear from a, you know what I mean? Like, it's, they're not
super,
super densely
populated. Well, it's
like,
we've been talking about people disappearing from Dawson Creek recently. That's a, not, it's a vast area in terms of the land that area has, but in terms of where the people are situated in this town and the, like, you're right, like the city center and where it could happen, it's not large.
Yeah.
So there's something going on here.
Yeah. But that's my cases. Two.
Well, thank you so much.
Very similar disappearances out of the Merritt, BC area.
I love that you did cases, though, that we're looking for information still, so we could
try
to get the word out.
Yeah, like I said, I believe the Vanished podcast has done an episode on Dean's disappearance, if you want to listen to, like, more about that. And then it looks like True North True Crime as well did do an episode on Ben Tyner back in 2020. So if you do want to hear maybe a little bit more information or just the story told a different way, you can check out both of those podcasts for the two cases, but I felt it was appropriate to do them together, given the limited information we have on both.
I agree. Also, just quick note about the Dawson Creek cases and True North True Crime. They did cover Cole, who is one of the people that have disappeared. He's the young gentleman.
I did see that.
And there's also the two young women. But if you want to hear more information about that, you can also check their case out about him.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for covering those today.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And we will see everybody again next week for another episode of Podcast by Proxy.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
I'll call you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
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 How do I stop this shit?
I'll stop it.
Okay. Fuck me.